Blog Talk Radio.
My hand on Jesus. Oh, I can't see Jesus. But every once in a while,
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is May the 2nd, 2023, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. We hope that you have had a wonderful day, that this has been a great day for you. The weather has been pleasant. We pray that God has blessed you to have a great day today. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the worship service there. Our worship service starts at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning, and you are cordially invited to come and be a part of the worship service of First Baptist. We invite you to also go to our Facebook page. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist. You'll find the events that are coming up in First Baptist. Speaking of events, this Friday is Fish Day. Men of First Baptist will be having a fish dinner this Friday, May the 5th. You can make your orders now. Go to the Facebook page. You'll find more information about that. On that Facebook page, you'll also find other events or annual days that are happening at First Baptist. You'll find information about the Bible study that you're listening to right now. There is a call-in number. That number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and be a part of the Bible study. There is also a link for the Bible study. There's always opportunity to go back and listen to any Bible study of First Baptist. All you got to do is simply go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page and click on any link for any Bible study, and you can listen to that link. You can listen to it in your car. You can listen to it at home. You can carry it with you while you're running, while you're doing your exercise. This is one reason why this medium is so important. It's a portable medium, and you can carry it with you. You can listen to any Bible study. You can listen to any study, any topical discussion that we have. You are cordially invited to do so. So we ask you to go to the Facebook page, scroll around. You'll find a lot of information about First Baptist there. And like I said, you will also find information about the Joint Baptist State Convention of North Carolina and the Wink Missionary Baptist Association. So we invite you to go to the Facebook page. Stay in touch with us so we can stay in touch with you. We thank God for all of you who are giving to the house of God. Please remember to give to the house of God. You can do so by coming to church, of course, Sunday, and you can bring your tithes, offering, and contributions. You can also mail those contributions in. Go to the Facebook page address for that. Come by between the hour of 10 and 11:30. People are there, trustees are there to make sure that you're accounted for your tithes and your gifts. And we do have a Cash App. You can use the Cash App, FBCHS, FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter through the Cash App, and you can support the house of God. We want to stay in prayer for all of those who are going through at this time, those who are sick, those who are in the hospital. Seems like sickness and death is everywhere. It is touching every family everywhere. And so we have to be prayerful. We don't know when it's going to attack or when it's going to happen to any family. So let us be prayerful for those who are going through right now. Always talk about those who are going through because there's always something. You always hear about something somebody is going through at this particular time. And so we want to stay prayerful for those. And we all want to stay prayerful for those who are in the rest home, those who are locked behind prison bars, those who are just locked out of the ark of safety. They're not locked out. They could surely come in and be a part of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. Those who are listening over the internet, those who are listening over the phone, those who will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded, We pray, God, for your blessing. Let us go into our lesson tonight with clarity to understand your word, that we may be able to impart your word into our lives. We thank you, God, that you did not leave us without a word. And at times like this, we can go into your word, Father. We can find deep meaning for our lives. We thank you right now. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Our lesson tonight comes from the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter of Genesis. I'll pause while you find it. Genesis, the 9th chapter, starting in verse 8. Genesis, the 9th chapter, we're going to start in verse 8, and we're going to go down to verse 17, time permitting. Two things before we start. Covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant is a formal agreement between two parties. The principal section of a covenant are the stipulations. These stipulations may be included and required by either party or by both. In this particular covenant, God took stipulation upon himself rather than imposing them on Noah and his family. Unlike the earlier or later covenant with Abraham and those that built on the covenant with Abraham, this covenant held election or new revelation. This covenant was not made to a person. This covenant was not made to a people. This covenant was made with every living creature upon the earth. This covenant that God made with Noah is not for a covenant for Noah only, but for every living on the earth. Now, what is the significance of the rainbow? What is the significance of the rainbow? The designation of the rainbow as a sign of a covenant does not suggest that this is the first rainbow. The formation of a sign is connected to the significance that's attached to it. In like manner, they said in the Old Testament that circumcision was designed as a sign of covenant with Abraham. Yet that was an ancient practice, not a new practice, with Abraham. In the Gilgamesh epic, the god Ishtar identified the lupus lazuli, which was a deep blue stone with gold color. She wore it in her necklace as a basis of an oath of which she would never forget the days of the flood. In the 11th century, Assyrians believe shows two hands reaching out of the clouds, one hand offering blessing, the other holding a boat. Since the word for rainbow is the same word as used for the weapon, this is an interesting image. God is using the rainbow sign as a gesture of symbol of his covenant. Every rainbow ought to remind you of the covenant that God made with Noah about drowning the earth. When you think about it, go back to your junior high school science. The earth, fourth land, three, fourth water. What keeps the water from taking over the land? When we have hurricanes and people are flooded, you see the damage that water can do. Tsunami, wave after wave, we see the damage. And so God's covenant here is a symbol with the rainbow to let us know that God has made a promise to Noah and his son and his descendants, meaning all of us, and every living thing, that there would never be a flood to destroy all of mankind again. God had drowned the world once, and although he foresaw the future wickedness of this world, he promised never to drown the world again. That is the basis of our lesson tonight. Let us go to verse 8. I'll do verse 8, verse 9. And God spoke unto Noah and to his sons and with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, a divine covenant, a divine sovereignty of God taking the initiative to speak to Noah, to speak to Noah and his sons. After the destruction of the world by the flood, Noah became the symbol head of God's new creation because he and his family were the only ones saved from the watery grave. That's why he says in verse 10, and with every living thing, every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. God made this covenant with every beast of the earth, including man, including oxen, including birds, including all creatures that he had created. He made a covenant with all that he had created, never to drown the earth again. Noah became the seminal head of God's new creation. Noah's family was the only ones that were saved, possibly to ensure that man would never be wiped out. God spoke to Noah and made a covenant, meaning a divine ordinance, the sign of a rainbow, saving the great flood. Noah had been through a whole ordeal. God wanted to assure him that he could now live out the rest of his life in peace and rest, and his children could live their lives in peace and rest. God's anger with the world had been appeased, and man could now be at peace as well. God's pledge was extended not only to Noah, also to all of his seed. Verse 11, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. In establishing this covenant with Noah, God made the covenant both universal and unconditional. Noah was not asked to do anything. He wasn't asked to do anything in order to receive this covenant, for this covenant to remain in force. By including every living creature in the covenant, we are reminded of God's instruction to Adam and Eve to reproduce and multiply and cover the earth. Here, God promised that the water will never again be the cause of destruction for all mankind on earth. This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Verse 13, for I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a token of a covenant between me and the earth, so that Noah would know that the word is good. God gave a token, a mark, a sign. It's a token, it's a sign, it's a symbol. This bow is a treatment of the word that the Hebrews use for bow for war. But there he gives this bow a new use, a new meaning. The bow or the rainbow will be a reminder to him and his covenant and all of creation, the covenant that he had made, things that he created on this earth. So everything can see the rainbow. We can see the rainbow. The birds can see the rainbow. The bees can see the rainbow. The beasts, the cattle, everybody can see a rainbow. We all have the vision. I hope to see the rainbow. That is to remind us of God's promise. In verse 14, and it shall come to pass, then I will bring a cloud over the earth, that the bolt shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. It is noteworthy that nothing happens out of God's permissive will. Let me say that again. It's noteworthy that nothing happens outside of God's permissive will. God brought the cloud. God determined that the rainbow would be seen in the cloud. God will see it, but man will be permitted to witness the rainbow. And this rainbow will be a reminder to him. Each time we see a rainbow, we are to remember. Remember that God has made a covenant to never again destroy the earth with a great flood. God is faithful and true to his word, a word that reminds us universally its application, extending to all flesh, human and non-human. Verse 16, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Again, he repeats the same thing. Why does God say the same thing over and over again? Because he wants you to remember it. The rainbow usually appears when particles of moisture are in the cloud. They interact with the rays of the sun, usually after a warm shower. It's comforting to know that the storm of God's wrath that once resulted in a universal flood will always be quieted when he looks at the token of peace called the rainbow. Verse 17, and God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is in, that is upon the earth. Once more, God's covenant is confirmed. This is the seventh you will not forget. In the completeness of God's promise, Noah and all mankind can be assured that God is in control and God is mindful for all that is concerned and all that occurs upon the earth. This lesson tonight tells us about the awesome power of the Creator and how awesome the flood must have been, for it destroyed every living creature. And God saw that this was such a mass destruction of his own creation that he decided he would never do it like that again. Now I want to talk about flood. I want to talk about how floods can occur on a small level. These floods that we have seen are nothing like that. We've never seen the heavens open up and pour out water like that. What would happen? How would we deal with that? Could we survive that? Nimrod thought he could. He built the tower. He thought he could build a building tall enough to get away from the water. Because surely, if it happened once, he thought it could happen again. We're living in a time, beloved, but we have to keep our minds focused on the Lord and the awesome power of God. Even when we look at these tornadoes, and we look at the floods, and we look at the hurricane, and we look at the storm damage that is done, a storm touched down not too long ago in North Carolina, did tremendous damage. And we don't know what's going to happen next. We don't know what kind of disaster is going to happen next. But we can be assured that God is still in control, that God knows how to handle a situation, and God knows how to handle us in a situation. So I want to talk tonight about the lesson, of course. We'll talk about the covenant that God has made with all the things on the earth. But I also want to talk about flood. Have you ever been flooded? Have you ever gone through a flood? Have you? Maybe somebody tonight can talk about that. I'm going to open the lines. You're not obligated to talk, but if you'd like to talk, you can do so. Okay, let's open the lines. I'll go to 757, last four digits, 5803.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Pastor Rogers. This is Sherry.
Good evening.
And I have truly enjoyed this evening's lesson. I've always enjoyed reading this, you know, about knowing how our covenant, how God gave that covenant, that agreement between us, that he would never flood the earth again.
Okay.
And were you asking me a particular question?
No, I'll come back with a question.
Okay.
All right. Let's see who else is online. Area code 609, last four digits, 9126.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Francis. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. You asked the question about have you ever been in a flood. I have when I lived in New Jersey, been in several floods. And the devastation, I can't even imagine 40 days of rain, because we had times of rain where the canal overflowed, and the devastation just from that amount of water and then the cleanup and the things you have to go through after a flood. It's insurmountable. I can't even imagine what Noah had to go through, because after having a flood of that magnitude and everything is mud and wet, you first have to dry out before you can begin to live again. So I would imagine he stayed on that boat that he had built for even a long time after it had, you know, started to. So a flood is not fun, and I would never want to have to go through that ever again. And I don't know what I would do if I would encounter a flood of that magnitude.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Pray.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 2314.
Yeah, I'm here, Reverend Rogers. How's everybody doing? I'm good. I'm good. I enjoyed the lesson. I really don't have anything to add right at the moment.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Area code 919, last four digits, 6615.
Good evening. Good evening, Reverend Rogers and everyone. This is Paula. I don't really, I enjoy the lesson, but I just think it's just a sign that whatever God says he's going to do, he will do, and that God is just in control, you know. Okay. It lets us know how much God is in control. He can just speak and say this is going to happen for 40 days. He can just speak anything and just decide, you know, and he can also make a covenant like he did with that it would not happen again, you know, on the earth. That's basically what I got out of it, but I was I'm just amazed. I don't know. I'm like Sister Francis. I don't know what we would do if we had, was it 40 days of rain, flooding? I don't know, but I hope God provides a way out if anything like ever happens as far as me being in a flood, you know.
It's devastating. We can look at the pictures on TV. We see how people suffer so bad after floods. We know the destruction of the water. But I want to bring something to focus. I want to think about this. Listen to me very carefully. Anybody who want to comment on this can do it. There is no new water. Let me say it again. There is no new water. The water that rained yesterday has rained before. All the water earth has always been here. Comment.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I had never thought of that before, but are you saying, is it because, Pastor Rogers, the clouds soak up the water and then
exactly.
It releases?
Exactly. There, water does not come from outer space. Water comes from the ocean up to the cloud. The cloud refilters, comes down rain. Either solid snow and ice, or liquid rain, or mist, fog. There is no new water. All the water that is on the earth has always been here. There's no new water. It's just recycled over and over and over again. That's the creative power of the one who holds back the water. Anybody ever thought about that?
No, I've never heard that before. I think that's just amazing stuff.
Yeah, think about it. Read about it. That's the water that rained yesterday was the same water that rained 100 years ago. It's the same water. There is no water out in space. The only water, for planets, nothing but barren, round balls. Earth is the only planet that has water. And because the Earth is 3/4 water, water to take over the land. If the icebergs begin to melt in the North Pole and the South Pole, we're in bad shape. But
Reverend Rogers,
go right ahead.
So icebergs are melting, you know, and you said all of that water. The earth is made up of 3/4 of water, but all of that is melting. But God's covenant still stands. It still promised never to destroy the earth by a flood.
Right.
So even though that's occurring and that's a concern, you know, we hear it on television, we read about it all the time, about the devastation of floods, and that's why floods are so much devastating now than they used to be, and they're more frequent than they used to be. So when a storm like a hurricane or a tornado come up and it pushes all of that water to earth, we're having, you know, places that never flood before flood.
That's right. That's right. Let me talk about something else. The rainbow. Have you ever considered that the rainbow have all the colors of the spectrum? Every color, whether we can see it or not, is in the rainbow. It has all the colors of the spectrum. Some those colors that we can see with human eyes, some of those colors are ultraviolet colors. Some of those colors even have a different particle concept. Rainbow, when that sun hits a certain part of the mist of the air, that rainbow is like the prism of our eye. If you ever go to the eye doctor, it is always a thing that looks like a rainbow. And it lets you know the various colors that the eyes can pick up. That's a very significant thing as well, as we look at the rainbow, because the rainbow is a signal and a sign for everyone. As I said earlier, some animals may even be able to pick up colors that we can't see. We can only see, our spectrum goes from blue to red, yellow and green, and maybe one or two others, if we have good, you know, eyesight. But there are colors that we can't even see. And the rainbow displays all of those colors at the same time. Awesome sign. That's more awesome than the moon eclipse or those other things that we look at in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
That rainbow is a significant sign.
Mm-hmm.
And so we should look at that almost with reverence. It signifies, meaning that it's sealed, signed by God as a covenant, not to man, but to all of mankind. If we look at the rainbow, notice the little kids like rainbows. You ever notice that?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you say?
I said, did you ever notice that kids like rainbows?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
Right.
One other thing. Go right here.
While you're talking about the rainbow, a lot of people don't know what the rainbow means. More related to themselves, like something's good going to happen in their life versus the real meaning of the rainbow.
Right. That, I'm glad you brought that up because that's what I mean by that. Too many people have heard too many stories and too many folk tales about what rainbows are or what a lot of signs are, and they take it to mean one thing or another, instead of what it should be looked at. So I'm glad you brought that up. I guess it does mean good luck, because you're not going to drown. Won't be another flood. Yes, that does. I guess it is a good
thing. That's a good thing. That is true.
One other thing, and his family. Po-folk, these are the only people who are left on the earth. What do you think happens next? Anybody?
We had to.
Yeah.
Well, say it. Noah and his family have been saved from the flood. God has given them the same instructions that he gave Adam and Eve, to go forth, be fruitful, and to multiply.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they can do. That's all they've been instructed to do. They weren't instructed to build no city. They weren't instructed to start a government. They were instructed to do anything other than to go forth and be fruitful and multiply. God had destroyed every living creature other than those that were on the ark. And that command, by the way, not just for Noah and his family, but that command to go forward and be fruitful and multiply, that was for all of the animals as well. Everything that came off the ark was told to go forward.
Uh-huh.
And be fruitful and multiply. Every animal Everything that was on that ark was told to go forward and be fruitful and multiply. And so did Noah and his family. And that was the only thing they could do. That was the only thing that God commanded them to do. So it is truly a significant story. It's almost like the Genesis again. Anybody have anything like that?
I mean, how did they be fruitful and multiply if it was only them?
Well, they had to intermingle.
Or were they together? I mean, were they like being together as family members?
There was no family at that time. Just men and women.
Oh, it wasn't no family?
No, it was just men and women.
Oh, just men and women. Oh, okay. So
yeah.
That's how it was.
Yeah, well, you got to go forward and be fruitful and multiply. It's not like, that's my husband over there. That's my son over there. Nothing like that. You know, you got to do what you got to do. Yes. Yeah. Truly a significant time in the history of mankind. Truly a significant time. One of these Bible studies, I'm going to talk about what happened to cause the flood. Why? What happened to cause the flood?
The people were kind of... I was saying the people were kind of doing everything, I believe. You know, they were, whether it was tilling, whatever it was, they were doing a lot of things that weren't godly.
Where are they doing that now?
True. And God was hating the fact that he even created them at that point. That's what really made him so angry.
I don't know
if I can use the word angry, because
why do you think he regretted the creation?
Excuse me, Pastor, I didn't hear you.
I said, why do you think that God was angry that he had created him?
Because he was seeing a pattern, not just he saw the pattern begin with Adam and Eve. And then the pattern was continuous up to that point when he instructed Noah to build the boat. And it was so much sin and so much evil in the world, so he wanted to destroy it and kind of refresh or recreate life.
Okay. Anybody else? Why do you think God caused the flood?
Because of the wickedness of mankind?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything that you all have said is correct. But there are other reasons why God destroyed the earth. And we'll talk about that in another story. If you get a chance, go back and read just before the flood. And we'll talk about that perhaps in the next Bible study or something. Because there were some other things that were going on. We can classify it as wickedness and sin. But that has nothing to do with what's actually going on. The heart of man has always been wicked and sinful. People are wicked and sinful now. But there were a lot of other things that were going on as well that was intolerable to God. God did not want that to happen. And because of that, that's why God destroyed the earth. Not just because of the wickedness and the sin, but some other things that were going on as well. All right. Well, I thank all of you for being on the line tonight. It's a short lesson, but a very important one. The covenant that God made with Noah. It's a different kind of covenant than God made with Abraham. God's covenant with Abraham is to him and his children, period. This covenant was for Noah and for every living creature in all of it. It's quite a different type of covenant. And then, of course, we know that God made another covenant with David. We'll talk about that. I think we'll talk about that later on in our Old Testament study. So we'll talk about the various different covenants. But tonight, Noah, the covenant with God. All right. Thank everyone for being on tonight. I hope you have a good day. Don't forget Friday is Fish Day, May the 5th, starting at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. I think the plates are $10.
At
First Baptist College Group. Am I right?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you there.
No prayer?
Good night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa, oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Wait a minute. I'm thinking about that fish dinner. Yeah, I'm thinking about that fish dinner. Hold on, y'all. Wait a minute. Let us pray. Our God, I thank you for this Bible study tonight. I thank you for those who have been on this line who have given input for lessons so important about your covenant that you made with all of mankind. We thank you, God, that you saw fit not to allow destruction like that to happen again upon the earth. We pray, God, that we become worthy of the covenant that you made. And even though we may go through the storms of life, even though the rain may fall, even though we find ourselves caught up in the whirlwinds of time, we know, God, that your mighty hand is there to lead us on. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, God, because you're God all by yourself. We thank you, God, that you don't need no help from nobody, that you're able to do exactly what you said you would do. And so, God, we ask tonight that you would be with us, you would go with us, guide us. Give us strength, God, to walk in these last and evil days. Give us understanding in our hearts to love one another and to be peaceful with one another. We pray, God, for joy, inside joy, that we can share upon the world to tell all mankind about the saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Y'all have a good night.
You as well. All right. Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye.
Lord, I want somewhere. Lord, I want somewhere. Lord, I want somewhere to lay my head. Oh, way over yonder, down by the riverside. Jesus, he's making up my dying bed. Hold on, let me set again. Down! Church.